Is God moving? Is God working? Of course He is. I would like to wrap up the morning with putting our fingertips to the heartthrob of God. What is His heartthrob? We're going to be looking at that. And in looking at that, we want to look at our own lives for maximum impact for the kingdom. In fact, I titled my little meditation this morning, Maximum Input. Maximum Impact Now. If we're going to, as God's people, if we're going to have maximum impact for the kingdom, what do we need to make that happen? First of all, I'd like to get a reference point. I'm going to use a group of people who failed in having maximum impact for the kingdom. Let's throw up the verse, Judges chapter 3, verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot. Underline that word in your mind. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. They forgot God. And in forgetting God, if you forget God, you put your time and your energy, you serve something else. Which is what happened to the children of Israel during the time of the Judges. When everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And there was minimum impact for the kingdom. But even in that, God, if you read through the book of Judges, God did draw people out and used them greatly. But it was a bad time in Israel's history. They forgot God. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, I want everyone here to have maximum impact. I want to have maximum impact for the kingdom. So, if I would ask you for a description of God's character, what's His character like? If I'm going to speak about God, if I'm going to witness about Him, if I'm going to tell people about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to invite people to worship and to understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we've got to know who they are, what their character is, so that we can totally sell out to them. If we're going to have maximum impact for God and His kingdom, we must trust Him. We've got to trust Him. We have to deal with any doubts about His character. We have to trust Him to always have our best in heart at mind, to always respond to us in love, that He will always respond to us in love. We need to view Him as a giver, not a taker. The people who we are called to witness to, the world around us, they generally view God as a taker. You'll hear comments like, look what He lets happen. Look at all the people He allows to die. Look at all the fighting and the war. Why doesn't He do something about it? He's just taking and taking. He doesn't give anything. He just takes and takes and takes. We have some work to do if we're going to have maximum impact, because our world views God as generally a taker. And when we view God as a taker, bitterness springs up in our heart toward God. What I'd like to do this morning, take a little walk through Scripture. The prophets, as they wrote, the people who God ordained to write Scripture, they had their fingers, so to speak, they had their fingers on the pulse of God. They knew what excited God. They knew what His character was. And they wrote about it. I'd like to look at Isaiah 54, verse 17. God talking to His people through the prophet. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me. What does that tell you about the character of God? He's going to take care of His people. He's going to love us. He's going to vindicate us. He's going to give us the ability to function. He's going to give us the ability to witness. He's going to give us the ability to walk in a world with impact. Walk in a world that doesn't see Him as a giver, doesn't see Him as a lover, doesn't see Him as God. I'd like to also just read some. I'm going to pull out some verses from Isaiah 54 and 55. This is the character of God. Verse 10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. If you know that that's God's character, that even though whirlwinds happen around you, even though all kinds of things seem to be falling apart, and yet you know that God is in the middle of that storm, whatever you're facing, He's right there with you. When you understand that that's His character, to be with His people, to walk with them, to talk with them, to love them, to care for them, that His love is totally unfailing, it will make a difference in how we relate to people. It will make us have maximum impact. Though the mountains be shaken. There's no mountains here in Delaware, so how do we translate that to Delaware? Though everything seemed to be falling apart around me, yet His unfailing love will be with me. If we can walk around like that with our head up and realizing that God is with us through the storm, that translates to maximum impact for the kingdom, because there's a light in our eyes, there's a spring in our steps, and there's confidence that just flows off of us. Do we always feel like we're on top of the world? No. But are we on top of the world with God on our side, with Him walking with us? Yes. Isaiah 55, here's some more of God's character. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him when He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will freely pardon. If you believe and you know that whatever you've done, whatever it is, God is freely going to pardon you if you but ask. Scripture is so beautiful as people had their fingers to the pulse of God. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. He won't stutter when he pardons you. He won't go, but what you did was pretty bad. No, he'll say, because of my son's sacrifice on the cross, you are pardoned. He'll say it with emphasis, and we'll feel it. We won't hear God stutter. When he forgives, he doesn't stutter when he's doing it. And to me, that's a wonderful thought and gives me confidence and helps me walk with a bounce in my step and puts a light in my eyes because he freely pardons. And if we believe that, and if we take a step beyond believing that, if we have done what the prophet says to do, let him turn to the Lord, then we're forgiven. We're freed. And now we can have maximum impact for the kingdom because we believe it, and we've not only believed it, we've experienced it. We've experienced the freedom. Let's look at Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. All we're trying to do is look at the character of God so his character infuses us, becomes part of us, and we really know who he is and about his character so that we're confident. We're not iffy with God, and I don't quite know about this fellow God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, if you look at the context of this particular passage, it's talking to a group of people who had gone after the Baals and the Ashtaroth. They had forgotten God, and they were serving other gods, and God had to do a little disciplinary work in their lives. And then he said, I know the plans I have for you, when they finally turned back to him, when they did what they should have done in the first place. Then he said this through the prophet. That's the heartthrob of God. That's who he is. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. If we really leave that up there, I want that to soak in. That's what God's thinking about you. And while God's thinking about you, thinking about prospering you and giving you a future and a hope, giving you something you can grab a hold of and walk with, this is my life purpose. This is what I was born for. This is me. I'm comfortable in my old skin because God's given me a future and a hope. That is maximum impact for the kingdom. And the whole time God is saying this about you. Don't exclude yourself, please. Nobody here. Don't exclude yourself from what God is saying. This is God's character. This is how he feels about you. He plans to prosper you. plans to use you. And the enemy the whole while is saying, you? You? Look what you've done. He's saying, look who you are. Look what you are. Accusation after accusation after accusation. So while God is saying, I have plans to prosper you and not harm you, the enemy is saying, you're a nobody and I have plans to use you for my kingdom and you're no good and you never will be any good and you got all kinds of weaknesses and failures and you're not worth anything. Just forget it. Forget this God thing. That's what he's saying the whole while God is saying this. So brothers and sisters, who are we going to believe? The love of God, his desire to prosper you, his desire to connect with you is universal. It's for all of us. That's his desire, that's his character, to connect with people, to use them, to heal them, to restore them, to build them up. That's just who he is. And the universal attempt of the enemy is to accuse you, knock you down, to make you feel like a rug. Who are you going to believe? I just petitioned this morning that all of us believe God, believe in his character. Hear the heartbeat of God. I'd like to read Jeremiah 33, verses 6 to 9. God talking to people through the prophet, talking to people just like us. We've blown it. Many times we've blown it. Many times we've failed to trust him. We've failed on the trust issue. And here Jeremiah is talking through God. He's talking to a group of people who had sort of blown it, going their own way. And again, here's God's heart. Nevertheless, could put in quotations there, nevertheless, despite your past, despite the things you've done, you've turned back to me, and I will bring health and healing to you. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah back and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me. Wow. And will forgive all the sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. God is saying the people who had blown it, who were out chasing the Baals and the Ashtoreth when they knew better, they forgot God. And God's character is such that he says, I'm still going to, you've turned back to me. He just waits and waits. He's so patient. He just waits for us to just turn back to him. That's what he's waiting for. That's his character. He's willing to wait for us. I will cleanse them from all their sin. In verse 8, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me And he could make that promise through the blood of Jesus. Looking forward at this time in the Old Testament, he's looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus. And he could offer this. He said, I will cleanse you from your sin. If we're going to have maximum impact for the kingdom, this is very important. Universally, sin makes you feel dirty. Lying, stealing, cheating, whatever God has said, just don't do that. Don't do it. And we go ahead and do it, and it makes us feel dirty. We don't feel clean. We just feel yucky. And that goes for believers and unbelievers. I talk to enough unbelievers that I know they don't feel clean. They put on a masquerade of happiness. But in dead of night, they feel dirty. I've talked to enough to know. They don't feel clean. I will cleanse you from your sin. I will cleanse. The washing of water by the word. And I'd like to encourage you this morning. Read Scripture. Read Scripture. God's heart is in Scripture. It was recorded for our benefit, for our good. For our good and for the good of our children and future generations. Read it. Cleansing. Washing of water by the word. That's just without getting deep into the context of that verse, that is just such a wonderful thing when you get into the word and you feel God's character, forgiveness. You feel his cleansing. You feel that love. You feel that acceptance. You feel that forgiveness. It just shakes you up in a good way, in a good way. And when you're shook up by God in a good way, brothers and sisters, when you feel cleansed, you feel forgiven, you feel refreshed, you feel new, you feel like God is on your side, that he loves you, that he cares for you, that you're special, and that he has a plan for your life, and he's not going to let you rot away. By the way, if you don't have God in your life, that is such a description, you rot away. You're rotting away before you're even dead. Your spirit, your inside, you're rotting away. And that's a shame because it doesn't have to be that way. There are young people, 12, 13 years old, who feel that their life is over, that they're hopeless, that there's nothing, they want to kill themselves. They want to just give up. They feel like they're just rotting away. And then Satan comes along, the opposite of God, who has a plan for your future, to give you a future and hope. Satan comes along and he offers drugs and alcohol, whatever it may be, all the sins of the flesh, he offers them. Here's a banquet. It's a rotting inside banquet's what it is. Don't give in to it. Do what the prophet said. Turn to me, and I will hear you. The prophets, again and again, if you read through Isaiah and Jeremiah, again and again, through the prophet, God said to them, turn to me and I will heal you. Turn, just turn to me. I will heal you. I will help you. I will restore you. I will remake your name. And you will honor and glorify me. Jeremiah 33, it's right there. I'd like to give everyone here an assignment. You're like, wait, school's over. All kids are saying, wait, school's over. And adults are saying, I've been out of school for years, forget it. No, just something to build you up. Read Scripture. Open your mind up and before you read Scripture, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret it for you, to help you understand it. As you read Scripture, you will notice there are times God takes. Now, when I say God is not a giver, not a taker, there are times He has to take something away from us to get our attention. There are times He has to take something. Sometimes He takes our peace. Sometimes He takes just different things to get our attention, to get Him to say, God, I need help. God, I need you. You'll notice times in Scripture where He does that. Now, follow the Scripture down, especially in Isaiah, Jeremiah, some of the prophets that they worked with the children of Israel. God would take. And then immediately, after the people said, oh, we give up, God, we turn to you again, God would immediately come back with comforting words. Words to give them a future and a hope. Words to say, Israel, it's not over. It's not all over. Even if you feel like it's all over, it's not. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I still love you. I still want to use you. I'm still here. You'll notice that pattern in Scripture all the way through. Yes, He takes. He needs to. And He never does it because I want to take something. He does it because I'm going to take this to get their attention. I'm going to show them from there. I'm going to show them my love, and they'll experience it like they never did before. Yes, that's how God gives, even though He sometimes must take. And just going through that exercise will give you the heartthrob of God. You will understand. You'll feel His heartthrob right in Scripture. And that will change your life. When you feel the heartthrob of God, it changes your life. It makes you different. You walk different. You talk different. Your eyes are different. Everything is different. And you're not rotting inside anymore. And God does work through Scripture. I will always stand on that principle. He works through His Word. He works through prayer. And Scripture and prayer are a wonderful combination. You pray your way through Scripture as you're reading it, and God speaks and renews you. So look for the pattern as you read the Word this week. How God, sometimes He has to take, sometimes He has to redirect us, whatever, but He's always giving. Just in there. I invite you to stand, and I'd like to lead us in a prayer, and the worship team can come. And as the worship team leads us in a song, the altar is open. You want to talk to God about the giving and the taking thing, and you want to talk to God about your life, whatever He lays on your heart, the altar is always open. There's altars in your home. There's altars in your car. There's altars all over the place where you can meet God. But you can also meet Him here this morning and just talk to Him. I'd like to lead us in a prayer, and then the worship team will take over. Father, help us to trust in You. Because we won't have maximum impact for Your kingdom if we're not fully, totally sold out to trusting You. And trust, once we experience trust, it turns into faith, the type of faith that we broadcast far and wide. The trust, faith, and then the action of spreading your gospel, spreading the good news, and impacting for the kingdom. And Father, someday we'll all be in heaven. And the days of reaching people for the kingdom will be over. But we need to have maximum impact now while we still have the opportunity to reach people for the kingdom. We all long for heaven, but there the work will all be done. We will not bring people into the kingdom. We have the opportunity now. And Father, would you work in our lives? Would you help us turn to you? Would you help us realize that we need you, how much we need you, and how little strength we have on our own? Help us see that so we can glorify you and have maximum impact for your kingdom. Would you bless this people? Would you fill them with your spirit and knowledge? And would you bring healing and restoration to those who need healing and restoration? Because your word is full of your character, which is restoring, renewing, forgiving, and loving personality. Thank you for who you are. Amen.